I don't think you'll have to turn in your Bibles to the scripture that I'll be reading. I'm sure you're very familiar with this passage of scripture, but it's found in Matthew 27, verse 33 through 37. I'm speaking today on the subject, the message of the cross. The message of the cross. When I finish with this message, I'll tell you how you can order the tape. But I'm reading from Matthew 27. Now listen carefully to the reading of the scripture. And when they were come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And sitting down, they watched him there. And they set over his head this accusation: This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now the whole world knows that a man called Jesus of Nazareth died on a cross nearly 2,000 years ago. We have no problem with that. In fact, the calendar, all of you carry a calendar in your wallet or in your purse or only in your bank book, and that calendar divides time by the coming of Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, into this world. You have the years B.C., that is, before Christ, and the years A.D., which means Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. So the calendar that you have on your person there tells you that a man called Jesus of Nazareth lived and died on this earth. And then our oldest history books, particularly Josephus, records the death of Jesus of Nazareth. And then the scriptures, the word of God from Genesis to Revelation, sets forth the death of Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth died on the cross. You can read about it in every book of the Old Testament. In fact, the scripture says, to him give all the prophets witness. And then preachers in this country and all over the world, in one way or another, talk about the death of Jesus of Nazareth on the cross. Almost every Sunday, someone mentions the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Everybody listening to my voice, there won't be anybody who hears me preach today that does not know that Jesus of Nazareth died on a cross. But the whole world is divided on four questions. The whole world, religious and otherwise, the whole world is divided on four questions. The first of which is this: who is Jesus of Nazareth? And then the second question is, why did he die on the cross? Why? And the third question, where is he now? And the fourth question is, what do I have to do with this man, Jesus of Nazareth? What do you have to do with Jesus of Nazareth? Now, do you remember those four questions? I'm going to deal with them very carefully, each one. And you won't be hearing a more important message than the one you're going to hear today. So listen carefully as I deal with these questions. Who is Jesus of Nazareth? Why did he die on that cross? And where is he now? And what have you to do with this man called Jesus of Nazareth? Well, the first question is, who is he? Who is Jesus of Nazareth? A lot of opinions. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, called him the son of Mary and Joseph. They said in John 6, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose mother and father we know, whose brothers and sisters live among us? How is it that he saith, I came down from heaven? Is he not the son of Joseph and Mary. And then they called him the carpenter, you remember? And a winebibber, a gluttonous man, the friend of sinners. They called him an imposter. They called him a madman, said he's beside himself. They said he was a son of the devil. He cast out demons by Beelzebub. That's what the Pharisees and the religious people had to say about him when he was here on this earth. But the angels of God, who announced his birth to Joseph, the first announcement was to Mary that she would bear a son, called his name Jesus. And then the announcement was made to Joseph, and the angel added this, told Joseph, now call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And this is a fulfillment of the writings of Isaiah, who said his name shall be called Emmanuel, Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. So the angels called him Emmanuel, God with us. And then the angels that appeared to the shepherds on the night he was born, the night he came into this earth, into this world, they said to the shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is none other than Christ the Lord. The Lord. John the Baptist, whom we call the last of the Old Testament prophets, called him the Lamb of God. Now, these Jews knew about a lamb. They go all the way back to Abel's lamb and the Passover lamb and Abraham's lamb and all the lambs that were slain on the Day of Atonement. And they knew what John the Baptist was saying when he pointed at this man Jesus of Nazareth and said, behold, look, behold, the Lamb of God. The Lamb that fulfills all the lambs and prophecies and patterns and pictures of the Old Testament. But we have greater witness than these. The Heavenly Father called him my beloved Son. On two different occasions, the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Again, he said, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Hear ye him. The demons knew who he was. When he cast the demons out of a certain man, they cried out, we know who you are. We know who you are. He was in the world and the world knew him not. He came into his own and his own received him not. But the demons, they said, we know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Have you come to torment us before our time? The disciples called him my Lord and my God. He said, I and my Father are one. He said, when the disciples asked, show us the Father, he said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He that has seen me hath seen the Father. That's what Isaiah the prophet said. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Government, the government shall be on his shoulders. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Who is Jesus of Nazareth? He's God. He's God. He is God in human flesh. That's what the Scripture says. That's what he said. That's what the Father said. The Father said, unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever. Paul said to the apostles, to the elders of Antioch, you feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. God's church in God's blood. You see, God is Spirit, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the only revelation of God to men on earth is one, Jesus of Nazareth, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word, which was with God and was God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Paul, writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:16, said, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in human flesh." You got the answer? That's what the Scriptures say, and they cannot be broken. Jesus of Nazareth is God Almighty in human flesh. All right, the second question, why did he die on a cross? Some people say, well, he died as an example. Others say he died as a martyr. Some say he died as a reformer. Well, I'll answer this question from the Scriptures and let you see exactly why he did die on that cross. Jesus of Nazareth died on a cross. Jesus, God's Son, died on a cross. God Almighty in human flesh. I can't explain that, but he died on a cross in human form. First of all, he died on that cross because the Father willed it. God willed it. That's right. His death was no accident. His death was decreed and purposed. It was purposed and decreed of God before the foundation of the world, from the beginning, that he should die on the cross. You see, he was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That's what the Scripture said. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. His death was planned and purposed and decreed from the beginning. He referred to that hour several times while he was here on the earth. He said, "Mine hour is not yet come. For this cause came I to this hour." And finally, in John 17, in that great priestly prayer, he prayed, "Father, the hour's come." You see, 700 years before he died on the cross, Isaiah wrote, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities." But when Peter preached at Pentecost and accused those people of crucifying the Lord of glory, they crucified with wicked hands, he said, in closing that message, "Him," Christ, "being delivered into your hands by the determinate counsel and foreordination of God, you with wicked hands have crucified and slain." You did, Acts 4:28. You did what God determined before to be done. If you're an Old Testament student, you'll know that everything surrounding his death was prophesied and recorded in the Scriptures long before he came into the world. The plucking of his beard, the piercing of his hands and feet, the betrayal by Judas, the sale for 30 pieces of silver, Judas bringing the money back, casting it on the floors, committing suicide, then buying the potter's field with the money. All of these things were written in the Scriptures long before he died. He died by the will of God, according to the will of God. That's why he died. God willed it. Secondly, he died on the cross that he might be Lord. Read Romans 14:9. Listen to it. "To this end, for this cause, Christ died and rose again, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and the living." That's pretty clear, isn't it? For this reason, for this cause, Christ died and rose again, that he might be Lord. He is Lord. He's Lord by decree, the decree of God. He's Lord by design. He's Lord by death. When he died, he bought the universe. He destroyed all the powers of Satan, principalities and powers. He destroyed those powers. He bought the universe. The kingdom and all the power is given unto him. He said when he prayed in John 17, "Father, thou hast given me power over all flesh." In Matthew 28, when he sent his disciples out to preach, he said, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel." Where did he get this authority? Well, it was decreed. It was given by the Father, and he bought the right. He purchased it. It's his. He redeemed it. It belongs to him. He died that he might be Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. All right, thirdly, Romans 3:25. He died to declare God's righteousness. Listen, God had set forth Jesus Christ to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, in His death. What is a propitiation? Well, you go back to the Old Testament and you find the ark in the Holy of Holies. And in that ark were the Ten Commandments, the broken law. Over that ark was a mercy seat of beaten gold. And at either end of that ark was a cherubim. And over that ark, the Shekinah glory of God. That's where God's glory was manifested, on the mercy seat. A mercy seat is a propitiation. A mercy seat is a covering. A propitiation is a mercy seat and a covering. And once a year, the old high priest would come in there with the incense and with the blood atonement and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. Sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat 7 times to atone, to cover, to be a propitiation for sins. That was just in picture. That was in type. That was a picture of the great high priest, Jesus Christ, who would come not with the blood of animals, but with His own blood. Not enter the holy place made with hands, but enter heaven itself with His own blood and make an atonement for our sins. God set Him forth to be a propitiation, a mercy seat, an atonement, a covering. His blood covers and cleanses from all sin. And it says, Father, God set Him forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare God's righteousness. Now, my friend, one does not comprehend the death of Christ rightly till he understands that Christ's death was not toward us. He didn't die just to set an example or to get us to feel sorry for Him or pity Him. He died toward the Lord. His death was toward God. His sacrifice was toward God. It was to pay a sin debt. It was to honor a law. It was to satisfy justice. He died to declare God's holiness, to declare God's righteousness, and to declare the righteousness which God has provided and purposed for His people. We have to have a righteousness. The soul that sinneth shall die. That's what God says. And somebody's got to die on whom the guilt lies. The penalty must be paid by that person. The penalty must be paid by the guilty person. We're guilty. But Christ came and took our guilt and took our sins and became numbered with us. He became guilty. He bore our sins in His body. And the Father laid the stripes on Him. And the justice of God was satisfied. The righteousness of God was declared. So He died that He might justify us before God, that God may be just and justify. All right, fourthly, Hebrews 9 says this. He died to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. That's why He died, to put away sin. He died the just for the unjust to bring us to God. John 10, verse 14, Christ said, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. For means in the stead of, in the place of. As a substitute, I died for my sheep. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So He died to put away sin. He died to bring us to God. And then fifthly, He died on the cross to purchase and purify a people zealous of good works. Listen to Titus 2. We're looking, Paul said, we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, who gave Himself for us, that in order that He might redeem us from all iniquity, that's what I've been saying, and that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, a different people, a separated people, zealous of good works. Now, our Lord didn't die on the cross just to keep people out of hell. He didn't die on the cross just to provide us a way to heaven. He died on the cross to establish a new kingdom wherein dwelleth righteousness, inhabited by people who love righteousness. He died on the cross to declare us legally righteous and justified, but also that we might be born of His Spirit and become new creatures in Christ with a new life and a new heart and a new direction and a new spirit and a new attitude. Those whom the Lord redeems by His blood live not only by Him and through Him, but they live for Him. And they manifest the fruit of His indwelling Spirit, and that fruit is love. These people love God and love one another. And joy, they rejoice in the Lord. And faith, they believe God. And patience, they wait on the Lord. And gentleness, and kindness, and peace, and humility, and goodness, and grace. He died to purchase unto Himself and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, a different people, a new generation of regenerated people. And then in the sixth place, He died on the cross to show the riches of His grace toward us, to glorify Himself. You remember when He prayed in John 17, He said, "Father, the hour's come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may glorify Thee." This is what it's all about. Christ died in order that He might be glorified, in order that the Father might be glorified, in order that the mercy of God might be glorified. Listen to Ephesians 2. In the ages to come, He will gather together all things in Christ Jesus, and He will show the exceeding riches of His grace toward us in Christ Jesus. Christ died that He might be glorified. He saved us to the praise of the glory of His grace. Oh, I know a lot of preachers talk a lot about all the rewards that they expect to receive in heaven for the good works that they've done, but according to the Scripture, Christ is our reward. That's what He said to Abraham, "I am thy exceeding great reward." Christ is our reward. What's better than Christ? David said, "I'll be totally satisfied when I wake with His likeness." What can be better? I tell you, my friend, the people of glory are not going to brag on us. They're going to brag on Him who saved us. He's going to show the exceeding... He's not going to show off what we did, because we really haven't done anything. He's going to show the exceeding riches of His grace toward us. He's going to wear the crowns. Christ is going to get the glory. That's right. He died that He might show throughout eternity for all the universe to behold and wonder at His glory, the riches of His grace, the riches of His love toward us in Christ Jesus. Now the third question, where is He now? Where is Jesus Christ now? Well, I'll tell you where He is. Hebrews 1:3 says this, "God has spoken to us by His Son, who being the brightness of His glory and the exact image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." That's where He is. He's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He said to the Son, "Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." Who is he that condemneth, Paul said? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who ever liveth to make intercession for us. There you have it. Christ reigns, Christ rules, Christ is glorified, Christ is fully victorious, Christ is satisfied. He's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now then, the last question, what have we to do with this God-man? Well, I'll tell you this, Scripture says in John 3, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hands. He's vested everything in Christ. He's given everything to Christ. Christ is the heir. And he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Paul said, God hath appointed a day. He hath appointed a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whom you crucified, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead. God's going to judge this world by Jesus Christ. And you know what he said in 1 John 5? He said, this is the record. This is the truth. God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The life of God is in his Son. The eternal life is in his Son. The hope of heaven is in his Son. And he that hath the Son of God hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God shall not see life. Who is Jesus of Nazareth? He's God. Why did he die on the cross? To redeem us from sin, bring us to God. Where is he now? He's at the right hand of God. What do I have to do with him? Well, he's the one with whom we have to do. God's vested everything in him. Believe on him. Rest in him. And the promises are yours. Now, I have this message on a cassette tape. It's entitled, The Message of the Cross. The Message of the Cross. If you'd like to have it, send $2 and we'll mail it to you. There's another message on the other side that I'll be bringing next week on the subject, All Things Work Together for Good. You want to hear that message too. So if you'd like, here's the address on the screen. Send $2. We'll mail you this message. Till next week, God bless you.